I wonder if you feel the way I do. This is, to me, a foretaste of heaven. Harmony, peace, the Lord, the center. And for all eternity, no more sickness, no more death, no crying. I better go on to the subject. Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7. Be not deceived. Oh, I'm sorry. Everybody is not ready. Do you all have it now? Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that's what he's going to reap. Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Verse 23. Numbers 32, verse 23. If ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. Be sure your sin will find you out. We reap what we sow, and our sin will find us out. Psalm 7. Psalm 7. Verse 15. He made a pit and digged it, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. Isn't that interesting? You reap what you sow. His mischief shall return upon his own head. His violent dealings shall come upon his own head. We reap what we sow. Let us look at a few examples of this principle, reaping what one sows. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. Verse 8. His brethren, that's Joseph's brothers, said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? They hated him. Oh, my, my, my. Yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Verse 11. His brothers envied him, but his father observed the same. Verse 18. When they saw him afar off, even before he came unto them, they conspired against him. Oh, my, my. They surely didn't think much of Joseph, did they? Chapter 37, we continue. Verse 23. Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand on him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver them to their father. Verse 23 again. Came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, they stripped him out of his coat, his many colors that was on him. They took him, cast him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Verse 26, Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, Let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and conceal his blood. Let not our hand be upon him. He is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. 37. I find this light a little dim, so you must excuse me. Plus the fact that my glasses need changing to the best. Combination of factors. Now chapter 39. They hated him. Oh, they didn't like Joseph at all. Verse 19. It came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant do to me. His wrath was kindled. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Read verse 21. But, oh, I like those buts. The Lord was with him. You having a difficult time, beloved? At school? At work? The Lord's with you. I won't stop to do it, but I could tell you some stories of how the Lord was with me going through school. I think of one fellow. He said, after he got to know me, he said, Arthur, I hated you so I could have killed you. Graduation, he was the first one to introduce me to his mother. The Lord was with me. But let's read on. Chapter 42, verse 21. Chapter 42. I must really ask your pardon.
This light is out, Brother Garnes, the one right there.
That makes a lot of difference. Well, that's a reminder of the light of the world, Jesus, isn't he? And all these folk going around in darkness, all famous. You see them on the TV, here and there. A number of them running for president, all in darkness. And we are in the light. Chapter 42, did I say? Verses 21 and 22. And they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon you. Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And you would not hear. Therefore, behold, his blood is required. What they sowed is beginning to reap. Chapter 45. Verses 1 through 3. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph, does my father yet live? His brethren could not answer, for they were troubled at his presence. Why were they troubled at his presence? They thought, we're going to reap what we sowed. But God spared them. Judges chapter 1. Book of Judges chapter 1. Verses 6 and 7. But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him, and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings, 70 of them, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so hath the Lord requited me. He cut off their thumbs and their great toes. See if you can hold your Bible without your thumb. See if you can write without your thumb. See if you can hold a fork without your thumb. And as for the big toe, you can't walk without the big toe. That's where you get your spring from. As he had done, so was done to him. Book of Esther, please. Reaping what we sow. Book of Esther. Chapter 3. Verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. Haman said unto Ahasuerus, There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. Their laws are diverse from all the people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's prophet to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasury. The king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. The king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also to do with thee, with them, as it pleases. He's going to destroy all the Jews. Chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 1. So the king and Haman came to the banquet, which Esther the queen. And the king said unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted thee, and what is thy request, and it shall be performed even to half the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. If we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther, who is he, and where is he that thou hast presumed to do so? Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. You remember he's the fellow that wanted to kill all the Jews? Remember that? Then Haman was afraid before the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined upon him. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet. Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in my house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said unto the king, behold, the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken in thy house. Then the king said, hang him on it. You reap what you sow. He wanted to destroy all the Jews. He was destroyed. One more example, please. Book of Daniel, chapter 6. We reap what we sow. Book of Daniel, chapter 6. Story that we know well. Verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. The king thought to set him over the whole realm. Many of you are in school. Honor the Lord. You would be amazed how he'll help you in your homework. Do you remember the story of this same Daniel? In chapter 1, he and his three friends honored the Lord. The king gave final exam, an oral exam. An oral exam can be tough, too. And Daniel and his three friends came out first, second, third, and fourth. You say, oh, that was in the olden days. Why, that happens today. I've told you the story before. Young lady in the School of Nursing in New York. She was in Christ Assembly Fellowship. And her classmates teased her. You don't do this, you don't do that, you don't go here and you don't go there. Oh, they teased her. She came to my wife and me and said, I think I'm going to quit. We said, God put you there, you stay there. We'll pray along with you. And she bore it and bore it and bore it. The taunting of her classmates. Graduation day. Oh my. It was on a Friday. Friday at that assembly was the meeting that we hold on Wednesday. And I said to the Lord, we've worked so long with this young girl. I believe that the Lord would understand if we went to the graduation. And we went to the graduation. What do you think happened? I've told you this story before. You've heard it before, haven't you? 14 prizes were given out. This young lady won 13 out of 14. God did. Did he do it only for Daniel? She is now an outstanding authority in the State Department of Health in California. Your Honor, God, he'll honor you. Let's read further about Daniel. Verse 4 to 9. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They could find no occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find occasion against this Daniel, except it be against his God. That's the way to live, young folks. The only thing they can find against you is against your Lord. You're in good hands. You're bound to succeed. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. He's dead. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whomsoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. My, my, my. They had Daniel cornered, huh? Wherefore Darius signed the writing. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. You know, Daniel must have had some courage. Well, how would you do? How would I do? I like to think that I would be like Daniel, I wonder. And prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake unto the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days saved of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king had answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, does not regard thee, nor the decree that thou hast signed. He makes his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, for he labored still till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then those men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree or statute which the king establishes shall be changed. The king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into a den of lions. Now, you often hear people say Daniel was in a lion's den. Nuh-uh. Why, I would go in a lion's den. I've seen men in the Bronx Park Zoo in the lion's den, but there were no lions there. They were in the lion's den. But I have never seen a human being in a den of lions. They don't go in there when the lions are in there. Daniel was cast into a den of lions, not a lion's den. We read on. A stone, verse 17, was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. His sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. Now notice this, beloved. Daniel is in a den of lions. See, what do you expect the lions to do to him? Why did they put him there? They expected that the lions would kill him, of course. Now look, verse 20, the king. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. Why would he cry unto Daniel when he put him in a den of lions? I think the king was suspicious that God would save Daniel. Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God. My, my, my. I repeat, you put this man in a den of lions and then come down the next morning and call him. Does that make sense? That king was suspicious that the God of heaven would save Daniel. Is thy God, whom thou servest daily, continually, able to save thee? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. I'm all right. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. Verse 23, the king was exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found in him, because he believed in his God. Oh, young people and old, believe in God. Believe in God. You'd be amazed what he'll do. I could tell you several stories through school life of how God delivers you when you trust in him. Shall I tell you one little incident? My habit in medical school, in the last 2 years, was to read a word from the Word of God and never stop till I got something, then go to the medical books. That's a little reverse, isn't it? The week before graduation, there was a rumor. Somebody is not going to graduate. And they came to me and said, "You don't seem to be worried." I said, "No. If I don't graduate, none of you will graduate." Not because I was smart. Trusting in God. And we graduated. And you know how Daniel and his friends came out on the examination, 1, 2, 3, and 4? That's what happened to me. But let's read on. Verse 24. The king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. They cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives. The lions had mastery over them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den. Reaping what one sows. Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Chapter 5, please. Sowing to the Spirit, sowing to the flesh. Chapter 5. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh. Please note that. You might even underline it. The works of the flesh. Effort, energy, hard work. That's what the flesh does. That's how the flesh acts. Full of energy, activity, motion, flesh. Read verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit. Have you ever heard fruit grow? Have you ever seen fruit grow? Quiet, inside, and internal. And that is how you can tell the works of the flesh. They are active, on the go. The work of the Spirit is silent, works from within, and produces fruit. The works of the flesh, 15 different items are listed here. And these are not all, because at the end of the 15 it says, and so forth. So there's some others besides the 15 that are listed. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now look. Works of the flesh, plural. Fruit of the Spirit, just one fruit of the Spirit. Not fruits, one fruit. Having 9 different attributes. One fruit. 9 different attributes. 15 things mark the work of the flesh. And the work of the flesh might be divided into four parts. Verses 1 to 3, the realm of sex. Verses 4 to 5, the realm of religion. Verse 8, the realm of social life. Verse 9, the realm of strong drink. That's how you classify the works of the flesh. Wherever you go in this world, they're only under four headings. The fruit of the Spirit, four groups. The power of God. Those things that pertain to God. Those things that pertain to man. And those things that pertain within. Three groups. According to my watch, the time is up. So in the will of the Lord, as He leads, we are going to pursue each one of these. The works and the fruit. Meanwhile, beloved, let us remember, we reap what we sow. There's a hymn, and it's not in our hymn book. I'll read it for you. Sow flowers, and flowers will bud. Around you, wherever you go, sow seeds and not weeds. You'll reap whatsoever you sow. Sow blessings and blessings will ripen. Sow hatred and hatred will grow. Sow mercy and reap the fruits of mercy. You will reap whatsoever you sow. The harvest is certainly coming. You will reap whatsoever you sow. And as I said, at a future date, in the will of the Lord, we're going to look into all these works. And that's what's going on in the world today. Take those candidates running for president. Listen to them. All they're offering, the works of the flesh. Only one candidate that I ever hear say, mention the name of God. Out there, oh, I forget the name of the place now. Where the lady, Miss Bhutto, and the other fellow are vying for each other. Pakistan, thank you. She is the only one of all the politicians in the world that I heard say, God. And they're going to reap what they sow. It's time to stop. Hymn number 330. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. In the last few weeks, several outstanding men and even a lady have died. And all I can say, they contributed this, they did that, he was a good writer, he was a good dancer, he sang. Is that what you're going to take to the Lord? That'll never work. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All his joys are but a name. But his love abideth ever through eternal years to see. Oh, the height and depth of mercy. Oh, the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of salvation. Pledge of endless life above. As I often say, enjoy your salvation, beloved. Bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. And when we meet our Lord, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Number 330.